Luke chapter number 16. I'm not going to preach out of Luke 16. I just want you to turn there. We couldn't be this close to Luke chapter number 16 and not just stop by and remind you that there is a story in your Bible that Christ spoke and said that there was a certain rich man that died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Is everybody with me? We don't get a whole lot of preaching on hell anymore. Most people try to stay away from it and avoid it because we're trying to keep people happy. The fact of the matter is there's a real place called hell. And if you die without Christ, you'll spend a real eternity there. And there's no getting out of it. There's no praying out of it. Is everybody with me? There's no comfort in it. According to the Bible, that man was in torments, and he remained that way. He was in such torments that he asked just for a drop of water to be placed on his tongue. And Abraham said, no, we can't do that. Is everybody with me? I just want to remind you of that. I'm going to be in Luke chapter number 17. As I said, can't be that close to Luke chapter number 16 because I believe there's probably not enough preaching on hell anymore. And I'm blaming myself for that as well, all right? Luke chapter number 17, I'll begin reading in verse number 11. So if you'll find your place, you're right there by it, next chapter over. We'll start reading in verse number 11, and we'll read down through verse number 19. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I was looking at this passage of scripture and I looked at it a little bit differently than I have in the past. I'm going to preach it a lot the same way that you've heard it preached, but when we get to the end, we're going to dig into something that's a little bit different about it to me this time around. Something that God showed me maybe that will help you and maybe be a blessing. But I think that a lot of folks have had an experience with God, but they've never got a hold of him. See, if you're worried about this sermon right now, you one of them that just had an experience. Is everybody with me? And you're worried about whether or not your salvation will hold up. There's a lot of people that have had experiences. There's a lot of people that have been to a concert and the Holy Ghost move in and we've experienced him. There's a lot of people that have been in a church service, especially around here, and the Holy Ghost will move in and you have experienced him. You have been in there. You have been around him. You have seen some things that he can do. And let me say this. He may have done some things in your life. But that don't mean that you got a relationship with him. Is everybody with me? I hope you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't mean just because you've had an experience with him that you're saved. We got a rich young ruler that had an experience with him. Met him face to face. Talked with him. If anybody could explain salvation, it was Jesus. If anybody could explain eternal life, it was Jesus. But the Bible says that young ruler went away sad. The Bible never tells us of a conversion. But he had an experience. Y'all got quiet. Hey, I ain't done yet. Y'all stay with me. There was an experience, but there wasn't a conversion. And I think a lot of times in our life, we put emphasis on the experience rather than on the conversion. I had an experience, but it didn't change my life. Is everybody all right? I've had an experience with a bunch of things that have not changed my life. But I had a sure enough experience, a sure enough meeting that changed everything about my life. See, a lot of people, this is good. I didn't realize how good this was going to be. I might just leave the outline up there. Y'all, somebody's thinking right now. And here's the thing. There's a true test of your salvation, and it ain't in your experience. It's in your conversion. That means there's something different about you than there was when Jesus found you. When there was an experience, there's something that's changed. And you're no longer the same person that you are. Now, if you're still the same person that you are when you got saved. Now, I ain't talking about, there's a lot of people say, I ain't the same person I was when I got saved. And the only reason that you say that is because now you say, well, I'm indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Well, if that's the case, then there ought to be something changed in your life. See, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Not because I had an experience, but He came inside of me. I'm different than who I used to be. I don't do the same things that I used to do. I don't go to the same places I used to go. I don't talk to the same people I used to. I don't live with the same influences that I used to. Why? Because there was something that changed. There was a conversion that took place in me. Now, there was 9 lepers in this thing. There was 10 lepers total, but there was 9 of them that had an experience. But there was only one of them that had a conversion. Oh, I need somebody. That was good. There was 10 of them there, but only 9 of them had an experience with him. And 9 of them got help from him. 9 of them got healed from him. But 9 of them didn't have a conversion. There was only one that had a conversion. Hey, look at the last verse. Look at the last one we read. Hath made thee... Rest of them went away cured. Rest of them went away healed. But there was only one of them that was made whole. There was 10 that had an experience. There was 9. 9 of them just took that experience and they ran with it because Jesus done something for them. I ain't even finished yet. I ain't even going to preach my sermon. This is getting so good. There were 9 of them that he done something for. There was 9 of them that he fixed their family. There was 9 of them that he fixed their finances. There was 9 of them that he fixed their home. There was 9 of them that he fixed their problems. But there was one of them that he made whole. There was only one of them that he made whole. There was 10 that had an experience, but only one got a conversion. The other 9, they left with nothing more than experience. God help us today. We preaching sermons. I preach till I'm blue in the face. You've heard me preach the gospel. You've heard me preach the way of salvation. And you're sitting there and you're basing your entire eternity on an experience that you had that did not change your life. He healed you. He fixed your problems. He fixed your home. He done something for you. But he didn't make you whole. Because it was nothing more than experience. Is everybody all right? See, they put the emphasis on religion instead of a relationship. I ain't going to preach it. I want to, but I ain't going to preach it all. I am. Can't do it. We'll preach fast. I promise y'all hang with me. But I want you to notice, first off, the disease. These men were lepers. They had a disease that, as far as back in the Bible here, was incurable unless God cured it. That's why it's so special that Jesus cared this for them, because he was showing the world who he was. He was proving his deity right here because he cured them. But I want you to notice something about that disease. It defiled them. Matter of fact, the book of Leviticus said that a leper was to stand outside the camp. He could not even be in the camp. He had to be put outside the camp. And he had to cover his head and cover his lip. And he had to cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" He could not come in contact with anybody. He could not come in contact with any of the ceremonies. He could not be there for any of the feasts. He could not be there and take part in the Passover. There was nothing that he could do. Why? Because he was unclean. And he had to announce it. He had to cry it out, according to Leviticus chapter number 13 and verse number 45. He had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Why? Because it defiles us. You know, leprosy is a type of sin. And you and I have all, come on, help me right here. You and I all have that disease called sin. That disease called sin was passed down to you and I because of a father and a mother. That sin was passed down to you and I because of a man way back in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're all defiled. I notice this, it detaches us. They could not be within the camp. They had to be without. They had to be placed outside the camp. Do you know that sin will tear people out of your life? Come on now, I need somebody to help me. Some of you, sin has tore your family apart. You are in a divorce because of sin. Some of you, your family, your mom and daddy, you ain't spoke to. Why? Because of sin. Some of you, there's relationships, there's all kinds. You can go all through your life and see how sin has separated you from those that you love. These men couldn't even go home to their wives. They couldn't hug their children. They couldn't love on them, kiss them, and tell them they were proud of them. They had to be without the gate, and they had to holler out, "Unclean." It disfigures you. Sin has a way to making you look ugly. Now, is everybody all right? Don't worry. Some of y'all are just natural. But anyhow, I'm just picking. Preacher too included. I'm sorry. But sin has a way of disfiguring us. Now you say, we think about this, and first thing we think about is drugs and alcohol and all that. But you know what? I remember a story in the Bible of a lady named Naomi. And the Bible says that she returned into her land, and when she did, all the people looked upon her and said, "Is that Naomi?" You know what that means? She didn't look like she used to. You know what her sin was? Bitterness. It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't an addiction. It was bitterness. It was bitterness at the world because she had lost her husband. She had lost her sons. She was mad at the Lord. She was mad at God. She thought everything had come against her. And because of it, the people didn't even recognize her. Sin will do that to you. It'll disfigure you. And then it eventually, come on, help me right here, it'll destroy you. Just like leprosy. Back in these days, there was no cure for leprosy. They were sentenced to death. Wasn't no doctor visit going to fix them. They were sentenced to death. And eventually, can I say this? Sin will destroy you. We see the disease. We see the desperation. I notice first off their confederacy. I want you to notice this. The Bible tells us that they were between Samaria and Galilee. And the Bible tells us that there was 10 of them, but the one that came back was a Samaritan. I think that's important. I think everything in the Bible is important. And I think Jesus was pointing out to us that there was 9 Jews that knew, hey, I need somebody to help me. There was 9 Jews that had the privilege of knowing that when they were cured, they were to go to the priest and they were to show themselves. But there was one, he was just a Samaritan. And all he knew was that man right there spoke life into him. And he went back and he worshiped him. He wasn't about no priest. So there were 9 of them that was Jews. There was one that was a Samaritan. As I was looking at this thing, I seen the disease of it, but I noticed, second, the desperation of it. The desperation, sin, leprosy will bring people together that you never thought should be together. The Jew and the Samaritan hated one another, but yet they were camped together outside because of sin. I know it is. And they ain't caught it yet, but they fixing to. And see, sin will take you to a place and get you hanging around people you ain't got no business being around. Yep. Hey, you want to know, you want to test your salvation and your conversion? Who are you hanging around with? Because I'm going to tell you something. When this old boy got saved, every one of my friends walked out on me. Say, well, I don't want that in my life. Well, you're not going to do very good as a disciple. Because Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and your mother, your brothers and your sister, if there's a part of you that ain't fully committed to him, then you can't be his disciple. Don't get quiet on me right there. Well, I love them. I love my family too. I love my friends too. You think it was easy to walk away from some of the best people in my life? I didn't walk away from them. When I got saved, all of a sudden they couldn't hang around with me. I didn't walk away from them. They couldn't hang around with me. If they're comfortable hanging around with you, if this lost world is comfortable in your presence, I love it. I played golf Thursday. I got out there on the golf course and only one of them knew that I was a preacher. Man, they were cussing. They were drinking. They were doing all kind of stuff. And they asked a question about me, and I didn't even answer it. I don't let them know. I'm just, hey, I don't want to make it awkward for people. But the guy that brought me, he said, "This is my preacher." All of a sudden, it was like, next one hit a shot out of the sand, and it was horrible. He said, "I ain't gonna say it." Y'all thought I was though. He turned around immediately. "I'm sorry, preacher." "Sorry? What, for that one? What about the 250 you said on the last hole?" Right? Is everybody all right? It's amazing how when people get, hey, you ain't got to run them off. They'll run themselves off. All of a sudden, everybody got tight on that plate. Y'all hear me? We was doing good, which we won, but we were doing real good until that happened. Then all of a sudden, everybody started getting worried about it. They was over there hiding behind a golf cart drinking. Is everybody all right? Don't tell me ain't nothing wrong with drinking when you got to hide to do it in front of the preacher. I didn't tell them they couldn't drink around me. I didn't tell them they couldn't cuss around me. I didn't tell them they couldn't act a fool around me. I was just out there playing golf. Tell you something, get to hanging around sin, you make friends with people you never thought you ain't got no business being around. Their confederacy, we see a Jew here with a Samaritan hanging out, living together. Why? Because of leprosy, because of sin. We see the desperation. We see not only their confederacy, but we see their cry. See, here's the thing about sin. You know, sin's pleasurable for a season, but it gets to a place in your life where it takes over and it tries to, come on now, I need somebody to help me. It was fun at the beginning, but then it's about to kill you. Then all of a sudden you need some help from an outside source. But I want you to notice, in desperation, they were supposed to, what were they supposed to cry? Leviticus chapter 13, 45, what were they supposed to cry? Unclean, unclean. You don't hear them saying that. What did they say? Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Come on, y'all. How many of you been there? How many of you had sin in your life? You and it was enjoyable for a time. You were having a good time when you got in it, but then it got a hold of you. They got desperate enough, they cried out and said, "Hey, Jesus, have mercy on us." Their desperation. In their desperation, they got a cure. Which leads me to my third point, their deliverance. Their deliverance came through one man. See, he told him to go show himself to the priest, but the work was done before they ever got to the priest. I need somebody to help me. Priest didn't have nothing to do with it. Pope ain't got nothing to do with it. Ain't nobody, ain't no other religious figure got anything to do with it. There was one person that their cure came through. Because Jesus spoke life. Amen. Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. He gave him a command. He gave him a command. He gave him a command, and on their way, the Bible says that they were cleansed. Which means it's not only through Christ, but it's by faith. They had to start that walk as a leper. Goodness gracious, y'all ain't getting it like I am. They had to begin as a leper. See, they didn't get cleansed and then left. They started towards the priest, then they were cleansed. And once they saw that they were cleansed, one of them said, whoop, I'm going back. Y'all go on, tell the priest. Y'all go on and show the priest, but that guy right there is the one that saved me. It was through Christ, through one, by faith. By faith, they had to start out. They had to do it. They didn't get to reason it. They didn't get to see the results first. They had to step out on faith. There's so many people that are worried about God cleaning you up that you won't come to Him. Well, when I get this straightened out in my life, stop. Jesus, take you just as you are. A lover. Start as a lover. We don't need anybody. We don't need no clean lepers. You clean a leper up all you want to, he's still a leper. We don't need no clean leper. What we need is somebody to take a walk, somebody to take a step, somebody to walk up in faith. Let Jesus meet you where you're at, just as you are, save you for who you are, and he'll change your life. Not you. Well, I don't know if I can stop doing this or I can stop doing that. You can't. I'll go ahead and help you. You cannot. But there's one. There's one that if he gets a hold of you, you'll walk away from it like it's a plague. It's the difference between an experience and a conversion. There's an experience, and then there's a conversion. The danger. I'm done. The danger is when we put ritual or religion over a relationship. There were 10 that was cured. 9 went on to the priest. I want you to think about that. That's where the Lord kind of punched me in the mouth. 9 of them went on to the priest. Because that was a religious thing to do. That was a ritual thing to do. 9 of them went on to the priest. 9 of them went on to the church house. 9 of them went on to the church house. See, I could preach my sermons in a lot less time if y'all just understand them. I got to go back and explain everything. It gets rough. That's when we get into the 12:30 getting out of here, all right? They was out of the 10, there was 9 of them that went to the church house. But there was one that went to the Savior. Is everybody with me? See, he put relationship over religion. He put a relationship over a ritual. He put a relationship over what he felt. And there's too many folks nowadays that are hiding in religion. We're hiding in rituals. And we have no relationship. Why? Because we've had an experience. But we've not had a conversion. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and help everybody. Listen real good. Everybody look up in here. Listen real good. This will help you. Everybody all the time asking me, well, if they got saved, where are they? Well, if they got healed, where are they? Jesus lost 90% of his converts right here. We've done pretty good keeping better than that. I need somebody to help me. And I ain't saying I'm better than Jesus. I'm just saying, by your measurement, Brother Robin, where are they at? If they really got saved, they would have stuck around. Well, there was 9 of them that got healed that didn't come back. Not good odds, 90%. Come on. Right.
And he was a lot better preacher than me. He knew his Bible better than I did. Is everybody all right? He knew the Father a lot better than I did. Hey, a lot better preacher. A lot better teacher. I just thought y'all needed to know that. They place ritual and religion over a relationship. Just because you come to church on Sunday morning don't mean you saved. Just because you come back on Sunday night don't mean you saved. Just because you sing in the choir don't mean you saved. Just because you teach a Sunday school class or attend one does not mean that you're saved. Just because you get involved in the kids' ministries, well, you're probably saved if you do that. If not, we'd have a lot of dead youngins around here. Somebody say amen. God help you. You know you're saved if you work in the nursery. But seriously, you can go through all the motions. Judas did it. Judas did it. Judas sat at the same table with Jesus, heard all the sermons of Jesus, even prepared. He went and helped prepare for the Passover. I mean, he went and prepared for the Last Supper. He did all kind of ritual things. Matter of fact, he was some of that group that went out and preached. He's some of that group that went out two by two and witnessed and told everybody. Matter of fact, he was some of them same people that healed folks. That was Judas. God gave him power to do all that. Judas was right there in the middle of them. But he wasn't saved. Judas knew right when to say amen. Jesus say fried chicken and Judas say, amen, preacher, preach on. Some of y'all, that's the only time y'all wake up. Judas knew when to say it. Judas knew how to look. He knew how to talk, how to walk. Come on, don't get quiet on me right here. He knew how to do all of that. He'd had an experience, probably more so than any of us will ever have. But he didn't have a conversion. There was an experience that took place, but there wasn't a conversion. They chose a walk over worship. Y'all better help me right here. They chose a walk over worship. They some churches that they got it all figured out. You got to give me my jacket. God help, I can't be up here preaching without a jacket. Everybody all right? You going to come to church? You better come to church looking like Jesus did. Go ahead and tell y'all something. Jesus ain't never wore one of these stupid suits. He ain't never put on one of these dumb ties. And he wore sandals. Is everybody all right? Get over it. Is everybody all right? This thing's straight out of hell. I sweat before I put it on. What do you think I'm doing now? But they chose a walk over worship. A lot more important how you dress, how you talk, and how you do all that than that you come back and fall at his feet. Fall on your face at his feet and thank you. Thank him for what he did. I'm not putting these back on. I believe God needs to show somebody something. You can be anointed. You can be a witness. You can be full of the Holy Ghost without all this crap on you. I won't go any further than that, y'all. Okay. Y'all got worried. They chose a walk over worship. Going to their church is dead as 4 o'clock on Sunday. Why? Because they dress right, they act right, they talk right, but they've not had a conversion. They've had an experience. They've had an experience that's religious. They've had an experience with religion, and religion has told them to put on a tie, put on a jacket, put on shiny shoes, and get up there, act right, talk right, and all that other stuff. And one thing they've neglected is to fall down on their face before an almighty God, humble themselves before an almighty God, and say, your walk ain't going to save you. Your dress ain't going to save you. They chose religion over a relationship. They chose a walk over worship. And they chose a priest over the potentate. They chose a priest. The one that cured them was in their presence. But they was more worried about what somebody else thought about them. That's good. I'll go back to that. Hey, the one that cured them was in their presence, but they cared more about what a man had to say. Boy, ain't that a picture of religion today? We walk into church and we worried about, we got to dress right. Come on. Gonna get my hair did so I can go to church. Don't lie. My wife just drove 2.5 hours to get her hair did. I said, embrace the grace. She won't do it. I got them from y'all. My daddy didn't gray until he was 50 years old. I'm 44 and I got gray hair because of you. Bad as I was, my daddy didn't get gray hair because of me. Or he's lied to me all this time, been covering it up. We weren't worried about what somebody else thinks. God saved you. God brought you out of a mess. God saved your life. You have an opportunity to fall on your face and worship Him, and you're worried about what somebody's going to think about that. Is everybody all right? Let me say this. For all those that are sitting out there, some of the reason people are afraid to worship is because they've heard you talk about others who did. They've heard you make comments like, she was acting crazy today, wasn't she? Well, I don't know why she got to be all loud. Just attention getter. Just standing up so everybody will notice them. Why y'all quiet? Had an experience, but you ain't had no conversion. Because if you had a conversion, you might be standing up with them. You might be shouting with them. You might just run a lap with them. Oh, here's a novel idea. You might start the lap running. Somebody you got to go find a priest. Because you're worried about what he'll say about you instead of the one that fixed you. Instead of pleasing him, you're worried about pleasing the priest. And I ain't talking about the Pope. I ain't talking about the Catholic religion. I ain't talking about that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Other men. You want approval from them and aren't concerned at all with approval from the one that saved you. Come to that piano for me. I love you. I hope you know that. I hope the leaders in this church know that. Amen. I'm not preaching to one person, so don't come up after church and say, who is you preaching about? I like it very much when the Lord just speaks to me and I get to go and I get to take the shotgun out and and wherever it hits is where it needed to be. My question to you this morning, are you playing religion? Telling everybody about an experience you had. You might even have a date on that experience. But you ain't got no conversion to back it up. Because things in your life hasn't changed. They're still the same. You're still the same person that you always have been. You've just learned how to cover it up when you need to cover it up. Say that again. You're still the same person you've always has been, but you've just learned how to cover it up when you need to cover it up. It's an experience, not a conversion. You know how to lie and convince others that you're just like them. But you know when you lay your head down on a pillow at night that there's been no conversion, there's no change. There was 10 of them that was cured. Just because Jesus done something for you don't mean that you were made whole. Somebody better help me this morning. 10. 9 of them was cured just as much as the Samaritan. But only the Samaritan was made whole. Only the Samaritan. That means that he might have done something in your family and put your family back together. But did he make you whole? I ain't saying you got to be perfect. Lord knows I ain't perfect. I sin every day. But I'm not the same person I used to be. See, there was a time I'd cuss you out and I didn't have no problem with it. I'd cuss you like a dog. Look you eyeball to eyeball. Go home, lay my head down on a pillow that night and sleep like a baby. Now the thought of it can come into my head. Thought of it, the slip of it. God will have me on my face. Conversion. Time sin didn't bother me. Since conversion, there's a sin that doesn't bother me. There ain't a sin out there that doesn't bother me. Head bowed, eyes closed. I love you. I tell you that because I don't care if you're a leader in this church. I'm more concerned with you getting this thing right than anything else in this world. I don't want you to die and go to hell sitting on a chair in a church that I was preaching at. Maybe this morning all you've had is an experience. Not been a conversion. You know it. I know it. I know not necessarily that you are, but I know that there's people here that are. I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to get up out of your seat and meet me right here. Nobody's looking around. We're going to do it different. Say, preacher, I've had an experience, but I've not had a conversion. I'll come right down on the floor right here in front. Not going to go through the raise your hand, look up at me. I ain't going to go through all that. You know the Lord was dealing with you while I was preaching. The Lord was convicting you while I was preaching. Won't you come get that thing right this morning? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Won't you make sure this morning when you walk out of here where you spend eternity? Sing a little bit. Can you sing? I'm down front. Nobody needs to look around. Miss Caitlin's going to sing a little bit. We ain't going to prolong it. You come right on. Come right here and take me by the hand. Preacher, I ain't saved. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Not sure. Let us take a Bible and help you. Here this morning, why don't you worship him just for a little bit? Let him know how much you appreciate what he's done for you. Let him know how thankful you are, how grateful you are that he cleansed you, that he cured you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful for this morning. Lord, I pray that everybody, all hearts and minds are clear. God, I pray if there's one this morning that does not know the free pardon of sin. God, before they leave out of this place, Lord, they get that thing settled. Lord, I pray they know they'll not be made fun of, not be questioned, but God, they'll be loved. Lord, let us all have the mindset, not just an experience, but God, a conversion. Lord, you've done more for me than any man has. You've done more for me than any religion has. You've done more for me than any set of rules has. Lord, forgive me when I've not worshipped you like I should. When I've not put the emphasis on worship, when I've put the emphasis on everything else but worship. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pray as we leave out of here today, Lord, that you bless us. Continue to use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.